Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio, or studio, with Grant and Adam and Christina and Tara and myself, Sandy. And we are in Philippians 2, 12 through 18. And last time we talked about attitude check. And I don't know about you guys, but I need a lot of attitude checks in the day. And Tara was telling us about a lady that did it four times a day, and I'm thinking maybe that's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
Did I mess you up by using an accent, Sandy?
Yeah, it was that accent that came out. I was like, what?
We were being silly on break, and it just kind of
kept going. See what happens to me when they're silly?
There's more stuff that happens in between the recordings than actually what happens on the show.
So, and sometimes we share, and sometimes we don't.
Yeah, sometimes we shouldn't.
Yeah, that's right. Those are the don'ts.
Aw, you guys, it has been so good. Last time went so fast that we were like, wait, oh, we got 30 seconds left. We've been looking at Philippians 2:12-18, and this is Paul's second exhortation over the people of Philippi. And he is now telling them, my dear friends, I love you so much. You need to listen to me. I want you to be the same in my presence as you are in my absence. He's asking them for character that is consistent, integrity that is something that it's based on, I know that God is the one who sees me. It's not about man seeing me, but it's about God seeing me. So now we're going to be working in, and we're going to be looking at what does he mean by working out our salvation. Christine is going to read for us our passage to get us back where we're at. So Philippians 2:12-18.
Okay. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
That's so beautiful. I love the word of God. And I love Paul's heart.
I do too.
You know, he really cares about his people.
Yes.
So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just ask, God, you give us Paul's heart. Let us have Paul's heart for the people. It's just good. All right, we're at the point where we're going to ask the question. We're still on verse 12. You know, we did a whole show and we only did a portion of verse 12, and we have, what, six verses to go. We may not get far. So he says, I want you to continue to work out your salvation. What does that mean? Like, before we go into it, what do you think that means, you guys? What does it mean to work out your salvation?
I think a lot of people read that incorrectly, and they think they have to earn their salvation. But our salvation is, you know, a gift from God.
Right.
So we're supposed to just work out our gifts from him, and so we can glorify him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it kind of means that you have to, people nowadays, they just kind of pray the prayer to, like, have Jesus come into their hearts and stuff, and then that's it, and they don't really do anything else with God related or anything. But I think it's saying that we need to work out our relationships with him and keep on working towards knowing him better.
Right.
Good. That's good. Did you have anything, Christine or Grant?
Not really. I don't know. It kind of trips me up a little bit, working out our salvation. I don't know. But
yeah. It is.
Yeah, I mean, like, one thing you do need to be careful and look at is that it does say work out, not work for your salvation. Mm-hmm. So it's not talking about, you know, like, works-related salvation kind of thing. I think it has a lot to do with what Adam was talking about, with how it's not talking about, like, work to be saved, but, you know, like, start working out, you know, getting yourselves right with God and all of this stuff like that kind of thing. Like, you, I don't know, like, you might work out in blacksmithing, like, something, you're going to, like, hammer it out. Like, you know, try to keep on, like, getting it to the best you can get it.
It's really good.
Yeah, we have to remember that he's working in us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't us.
Right. Wow, these are really good. You guys are summing it up beautifully. After I went through and I read a whole bunch of theologians on it, and I'm actually going to read a lot of different quotes because it's kind of cool. And I actually might pass the paper so different people can read the quotes just so I'm not the only one doing it. But was trying to like sum up what I read, and my small mind description would be, all right, Paul, because we already know this, he's talking to the believers mm-hmm. at Philippi. We know this letter is to the believers. This is not to unbelievers. So when he says working out salvation, the first thing that came to my mind is like, okay, it's not about the actual salvation, being saved to eternal life, the actual forgiveness of my sins for eternal life. It's referring to the working out of my sanctification, mm-hmm. the being made holy. So it's the process of him continuing that work and me allowing it. So as Grant had said, like a blacksmith, you know, a person says, okay, I'm going to be a blacksmith. Well, it's one thing to say you're going to be a blacksmith. Maybe you go to school and you get the trade and you got the degree and it's like, I'm a blacksmith. But in order to be a really good blacksmith, the blacksmith needs to study. And the blacksmith has to practice the craft and has to put into practice the movement of the tools, the movement of his body, the movement of all of that. And then the blacksmith, what good is it to make a horseshoe unless you're giving it to somebody to put it on a horse? Right?
Right.
So that is what Paul is saying. He's saying, okay, so you have been saved. You've got Jesus. You are my beloved. You are my friends, my brothers, my sisters in Christ. I want you to be the same in my presence, the same in my absence. And we have to work this out. We need to be students of God. Mm-hmm. We need to be students of Scripture. We need to be students of what it means to have the mind of Christ, to study it, to allow his word to be at work in us and to allow it to do its effect, because as Sandy said, he's already in us, and move that in us and get it going so that we are practicing what he has already given us. And I'll use an example of, I remember the day I had this, it was like mind revelation. I was not peaceful. Okay, I'm thinking I was probably like in my young 20s. All of my major life revelations spiritually happened in my young 20s as God was growing me, because I was like, I'm no longer this, I am after Jesus. And I was not at peace. And I read the passage that said, he is the Prince of Peace. And I went, wait, am I in sin? Because if he is the Prince of Peace, I have asked him to be my Savior. He resides in me. That means the Prince of Peace is in me. So if I am out of peace, I am choosing not to engage the peace he has given me. And I was like, oh, wow. I needed to practice his presence and his peace. Mm-hmm. Do I still have to work on that? Yes, I am in the process of working out that aspect of the salvation gift that I have been given from him, of practicing, of knowing I have the Prince of Peace. Chaos may be around me, but I have him in me. And so as the Prince of Peace, I can trust him despite the circumstances to do his work. And in the last year of my life, he took it to a whole nother level, and now I'm 48 years old, so I'm talking almost 30 years, you know, that he revealed to me, I can actually be in pain, and I can be physically hurting in my heart, mentally, emotionally, but spiritually have complete peace. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That my hurting is not saying that I'm not at peace. My hurting is a revelation that I love with the depth of love that he loves. But I can be at peace in pain. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So like another level of what God has done in his revelation on me on that. So that was kind of like what God was working in me at this point in time in my life.
And I think you made a really good point there. We are a process. You know, we are work in.
Completely.
You know, so people that read this, they think they've got to be perfect, you know, and that doesn't happen. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect till we go to heaven.
Yeah.
So we've got to remember that.
Right.
You know.
And Sandy, that sets up real well what David Guzik said. David Guzik says, he says, work out your own salvation. Right. Your own salvation.
Not yours. I mean, not somebody else's.
Correct. And yeah. How often can we, God forgive us, in Christian circles, sit and discuss somebody whose salvation, the actual sanctification part, needs work? That in of itself should tell us we need some work in
us.
That's
what I was going to say. Like, if we're doing that, we definitely are the ones that need to.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the challenge is to remember it's my holiness, my sanctification, my responsibility to work out my salvation.
Right.
I'm not here to work out somebody else's. Now I can pray and I can serve and I can come alongside and when given opportunity, share. But that's what we need to do. Okay, now Adam's laughing. I'll have to find out why after. Okay.
She's doing this.
All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Grant read for us a quote that we have from Bible Knowledge Commentary so that I'm not the only one that's going to be reading some of these quotes.
Okay. To work out your salvation means to put into practice your daily living what God is working out in the Holy Spirit. This is on the personal level. This is not work for salvation, but work out. Mm-hmm. Key, selflessly, with interest of others ahead of self. When we view this passage as speaking to the whole assembly of corporate life salvation, when we view this passage as speaking to the whole assembly of corporate life, salvation refers to the deliverance from disunity, pride, and selfishness.
That's really good. And you know what? You had spoken into this without even knowing that that would be a quote that we have when you said that it's about the working out, which was kind of cool. When I heard you say it, I was like, oh, I love the Holy Spirit. He's at work at my son. He just makes me so proud. I'm the happy mommy. I love you. Sorry, I didn't mean to humiliate you. He's 17. He's a grown man. I shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. Okay, so here they're talking about, they say that it's the difference between the personal and the corporate, and that we have to recognize that what happens on the personal level will always have an impact on the corporate level. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why Paul says it has to be in my presence and my absence, because corporately, it's been so affected that it's been 10 years since he has seen the people of Philippi, and yet he's in prison and he has heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the people of Philippi are out of sorts and that they need to be working on their salvation. And so he is sending it to him. And apparently, based on Bible Knowledge Commentary, that's why they're dealing with disunity and pride and selfishness. Because whenever we are focused on ourselves and we're not allowing ourselves to have the character and integrity, we become the part that breaks down those three aspects. And so we have to be where we encourage one another and exhort one another to do that, because it has a corporate effect if we're not working out our salvation. Okay, another quote. Let's do this one here, but I'm going to have you also do, you can read it, and I'm going to turn to Hebrews 12:1 for you, because I want you to read that one too.
Okay. We need to seek to be delivered from whatever hinders us from being / doing God's best.
Mm. Okay, yeah. What does that mean? Like, things that hinder us. And so that was the question that came to my mind. So I remembered this verse in the Bible, and I'm going to have you go ahead and read it through verse 2. So he's going to read Hebrews, Adam's going to read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne.
That's so beautiful. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Okay, the description here is a person that's totally entangled. Like, it's all around them. And they're so entangled that it becomes a snare. And this Bible Knowledge College commentary is saying that we have to take off that which is going to hinder us. What is hindering us? What are we doing publicly that we need to let go of because it's hindering us? What are we doing privately that we're doing that's hindering us? We need to ask God, what are those things that we can pull and shut off? And in my mind, I was thinking, you know, kind of like in India, they have the serapis. And I had this picture of all of these serapes around this person, and they're trying to run a race next to the person that's like in the little, you know, what is the little shirt y'all call them? The skinny little shirts and
tank top.
Thank you. Sometimes I wonder about my mind. A tank top, and you know the little jogger shorts. And so you got the guys with the tank tops and the jogger shorts running beside this person with all these serapes. And so the person's trying to run this race, and it's just flapping in the wind, and it's slapping the people beside him, and it's all over the place, and you just see it flying, and it's hindering the runners and wrapping around the runner next to them's leg and neck and face and eyes, and all of these ways causing a hindrance for the runner and those beside them. And so the runner realizes it's a hindrance, and so realizing they need to get rid of to have the freedom, the person starts just pulling and pulling. And as they start shedding the entanglement of those, they start freeing the people running beside them because they're no longer entangling the person next to them. I was like, oh, God, that's what you mean by this verse in Hebrews 12. The things that I have attached to me that are not of you, I'm like blinding people. I'm hitting people with them. I'm tripping them. I'm entangling them. And so if I am willing to say, okay, take this, all of a sudden I actually don't just free myself, but I start freeing the people around me. And at one point it occurred to me, I went through like a grieving process that I realized that when I shared my testimony, because you know my story is not a pretty story, that I realized that even having to share my sin cause somebody else to sin because it might cause them to judge. And then I grieved the fact that even like something as confessing in my testimony my sin causing somebody to stumble because I had sin at some point, it's no longer in my life, but that it caused somebody to stumble today. That we should be so grieved by that which entangles us and entraps other people. We gotta get rid of it. We have got to get rid of it. We cannot allow those things because it messes with us and it messes with the community around us. And we have 30 seconds left. How did that happen? And so we have been examining this verse and we're asking God, what does it look like for us? And so let's get rid of those things. So Father, right now we just ask you to bring about a revelation to each of us, the aspect of our lives that needs to be dealt with so that we can run freely and we can give freedom to those around us so that we can glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. God bless.